Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. In his message titled, Vantage Point, Reverend David Williams tells us that many of our leaders put themselves on balconies where they are above everyone and isolated from what is going on in our everyday lives. God's way of leadership is beyond human ways. He gives compassion and love freely. He sent His Son to live the way we live and understands our struggles through His Holy Spirit. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. In our world, in our lives, we have been trained to understand that success means being on top, that the mark of someone's goodness is being at the pinnacle of society, being the one who has it all together, being the one who is wealthy and prosperous and in whose life there are no flaws and where there is no brokenness. Our culture teaches us this. Teaches us the song of power and strength. We know, because we have gathered here, that that's not really true. And yet still that siren song of power speaks to us, works in our hearts, causes us to view others as less than us, as less than worthy, simply because they are broken, just as we, who would rather not admit to the truth of our brokenness, are broken. Let us confess now that we judge others by that standard of the world. Let's admit that together using the prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying it. Almighty and loving God, we look around at the world and we see that the world is full of those who suffer. They're struggling to find their way in the world. They're wrestling with addictions and angers and lives that seem to be one broken moment after another. No matter how life has treated us, it is easy to look at those others and find ways to think less of them. They've brought this on themselves, we say. They're just getting what they deserve, we say. But as those proud thoughts dance in our heads, we are far removed from you. We confess the ways we have been ungenerous, unkind, and unforgiving. Forgive us, Lord, for the blindness of our souls. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third reading this morning is drawn from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along on page 685 of your pew Old Testament. Let us now listen a third time for God's word. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm used to being in different worlds and different places, because, as I have confessed many a time before this congregation, I am a gamer. I like gaming. It's this wonderful, new, and peculiar art form. It's a form of storytelling. It's one that's complex and ever-evolving and that allows us to experience storytelling in ways that humankind has never really gotten before. I'm currently playing my way through Fallout 4. Anybody playing that game? I played 2, I played 3, I mean 2 back when, and 4, which is basically you're wandering through post-apocalyptic, nuclear-obliterated Boston, which has kind of made me want to go see Boston, you know, just a little bit before, you know, it gets destroyed in 2077. But beyond that, gaming is this new way that we interact with one another. It creates these strange new social realms where human beings interface in ways that are different, but simultaneously keep parts of both what's good and what's not so good about humankind intact. And one of the more interesting things I've read in the last year about the world of gaming had to do with a game called Eve Online. Anyone ever heard of that? Eve Online? This is a science fiction game. This is a game in which players construct spacecraft and then explore this virtual universe that's been created. They mine, they trade, and they have these great battles over territory. And what I'd read about actually was this battle where you actually have to buy your ship with real dollars. And then the bigger the ship is, the more real dollars you put into it. And there was this battle that took place in which it was such a big battle and so much money was lost in the destroyed ships. 300,000 American dollars worth of ships were destroyed that it made its way into Forbes magazine as the single most expensive video game moment in history. And it was bizarre. Just a bizarre thing. Here, a world, like this realized universe, and 500,000 people play this game on a regular basis. It's a real economy. You know, this is 500,000 human beings doing the same thing at the same time. I mean, it's so much more complicated than Candy Crush or Call of Duty, people. But the weirdest thing about Eve Online is that this year, and for the last couple of years, EVE Online is ruled by a tyrant. It's ruled by a tyrant. And this isn't like a made-up character that they just put in the game so you can fight. This is a human being who has become the dictator of this virtual world. He's risen to a political and economic control point in a virtual empire. He holds control over what amount to millions of real-world dollars, actual power. He calls himself the Mitanni, which is an ancient Near Eastern empire, and he leads a group called the Goon Swarm, which tells you how pleasant they are. He runs this world, this universe, that in terms of actual human beings is like as big as Wisconsin, you know? I mean, that's... And that means here in this imagined space, He gives orders, and there are tens of thousands of real human beings who obey everything he says. He has created this complex communication and administrative apparatus that he keeps control over. He has intelligence operations. He has spies both in the virtual world and in the real world. Like if you have a gathering of people playing, you don't know if one of the Mitanni spies is there pretending to be your friend, but has actually just shown up because I'm thousands and thousands of people have decided to be his subjects as he maintains his empire. He's a despot in a virtual world. And it's a game, we think. There's a funny thing about this game. There's a funny thing about this person, this human being who's taken on this avatar. He motivates 20,000 people to follow him directly, choosing to work for a despot in a game. But he doesn't play the game himself. He did when he started. But now, he doesn't at all. He doesn't log in. He doesn't play it at all. He plays outside of the game. The human being who is the character never actually plays the game itself. He can't be impacted by the actions of it. He has systems of command and control that he's created that exist entirely outside of the game, which he controls through websites, through phone calls, through direct relationships with people, because he wants never to be touched by it. He plays the game above the game. And the funny thing about that is, you know, I took a course in pastoral leadership excellence. That was my whole doctoral thing. And in the leadership literature, there's talk about being up on the balcony, that's the role of a leader. A leader is not part of a people. A leader has separated themselves from the rabble, and they stand above the rabble. Don't remember this when it comes time to negotiate my contract, please. You stand above it, untouched by it, unrelated to it. A leader of this type just seeks control because everyone else is below them. They stand on this high balcony. It always makes me think of, you know, Mussolini, you know, up on his balcony, if you know those images from the Second World War. And what higher balcony could there be than not actually inhabiting the world you control, not even being part of it? That's how the Mitanni maintains control. But that has a weird echo in today's reading from Isaiah for me, because his ways are not the ways of everyone else who plays that game. He's higher, he's above them, in a different reality. And I think there's a danger of us thinking of God in that way, a danger that the prophet Isaiah touches on here, but that is more manifest fully elsewhere in Scripture. Because Isaiah talks about God being so far above the fray that God is untouched, that God's ways are distant. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And it's easy for us to hear that as an affirmation of a dictatorial rule over us, which is, of course, not Isaiah's point at all. Here, Isaiah, the prophet, speaking to the people of Israel as they are in diaspora, as they are suffering under the real power of Babylon, and telling them that there is hope, giving them an image of restoration that was strikingly beautiful. Here are people who were starving for justice, who were thirsty for freedom, being told here, there is a reality in which God will welcome you, make you free, come to the table. You who are poor, you who are struggling, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah's vision for a people who were struggling under oppression was this: you know that there is power above you, power that you struggle with, power that is a burden on your soul. and you feel, looking at this form of power, that there is no hope. There is the human way of being above all others, the way of despotism, the way of power, the way of mammon, where power is all about control, all about distance, all about standing at a remove so that you can control. But just as the ways of humans who are in power are different than those of us who may not have that power, so are God's ways above even that form of power. Because what we are asked to understand here in Isaiah, God's ways are so different. They are not like the ways of Babylon, not like the ways of control, but instead a step further beyond that. God's ways, we come to understand as followers of Jesus, involve not just that remove, but that presence. It's the essence of the teaching of Jesus and his nature that God is both our creator and the one who rests with us, who resides and walks and is present with our suffering and our struggles, no matter who we are, no matter where we are. Not at this great distance, not standing above us like a tyrant who can. That is not how God acts. God is present here with us. God's ways are both at a remove and within us in all that we do and say. And the great challenge for human beings when we're placed in a position of authority over others is to exclusively go to that balcony to make decisions from our pulpits, which are higher, or from our C-suites, which are at the top of the building with the very best view, or from our planes, and not really recognize the real effects our decisions have on other people, to view them as objects for our control, and not as other souls who we are called to love and sustain and support. Here today, we're going to be ordaining and installing leaders, people who are called to serve the church. And the great blessing of a small congregation like this one is that it becomes a lot harder to take that as, you know, I'm playing a totally different game than y'all. You know, I'm on this different level. I'm unaffected by what happens in your world. Here, we know each other. We have a chance to interact with one another. If someone is suffering, we know it. If someone is rejoicing, we know it. And so those who are called into leadership in this place aren't called to that, sorry, aren't called to be way up there in the balconies where, you know, they see the power and looming over. They're called to be present in a way that our culture doesn't teach as leadership. They're called to be here, walking alongside, working with, empowering and encouraging everyone, not seeing themselves as high and mighty as a despot, but living in an entirely different way. And that way is higher than the way of human power, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Wherever we find ourselves, given the ability to change, the ability to guide, the ability to lead, Isaiah reminds us of this. And Christ, whose way we follow, convicts us of that. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
power and leadership are going to be on our minds this next year. It's going to be really present, really potent, really all over the place. We've got Super Tuesday coming up in Virginia, and I don't watch TV because I don't want to see the ads. The challenge that we're going to face this year comes in that sense that somehow leadership and power is so beyond us. You've got these elites, you've got these people with wealth and control, and they are modeling and shaping leadership in ways that really feel beyond us. But we hear from Isaiah that God's ways are not our ways. And so here in this place, in this gathering, in this fellowship, we who have been blessed with the presence of the Spirit of God and who have been taught the way of Jesus, try to live out our leadership and lives together in a slightly different way. More like the way of God's compassion, the way of God's love, the way of God's abundance, the God who will lay out a feast before God's children and say, come, this is just a gift. This is given freely. Isaiah proclaimed that meal, and it's a meal we know embodied in the life, the blood, the breath of Jesus. Here in this place, we are partaking of that meal and living out that life in a way that is different than the way of the world, as different as heaven is from earth. Know that truth now. And as you walk out into a world where power wants to be high and mighty, know that that is neither God's way nor the way you're called to live. Let's go out and live that different way together. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.